It's that part of the week again where we bring you some top tips for your fantasy football team. As always, joined by Joe from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, first things first, as we've started to do now, let's look back to last week and what we learnt from game week 10 in fantasy football.
Well, one of the key things we learned is about one of the new chips that the game has, the free hit chip. This is where you can get rid of your team for 1 week and then your team comes back the following week. So for that 1 week, it's quite handy if you've got a set of fixtures where just there's a one-off where lots of teams have a really good fixture but in a kind of a sea of terrible fixtures. But we think at Fantasy Football Scout is best saved for the blank game weeks that come up a bit later in the season, when you get things like the League Cup final and there's a few blank fixtures, so you maybe only get maybe 10, 12 teams playing instead of the usual 20. So we think it's best to be used then. And I think the Game Week 10 proved that, really. More than 115,000 FPL managers used their free hit chip because they were taking advantage of some good fixtures for Arsenal and Manchester City in particular. But those stars let them down. Sanchez let them down. A lot of them got Sergio Aguero in. He didn't even make it onto the pitch as well. Morata didn't really do that much either. Salah missed a penalty. And Jesus as well. He only got 1 point. So basically the free chip hit was a complete failure that week. It could be good, but you take it with a risk. So I think that was a key lesson to be learned there. If you've got your free hit chip, save it for later in the season. And the other thing really, ongoing Man City, continued rotation. You have to realise if you invest in a Man City attacker, they may not make the pitch and they may not do much. You just have to go with that, because if they do, they could do really well. In a way, Man City have almost broken fantasy football. They've certainly broken the first rule of only picking on nailed-on players. But Sterling proved that again. He didn't make the starting 11, came on, scored a goal, got 7 points. Not bad, considering he got 15 points 2 weeks previous. So while he's been on the pitch last three game weeks, he's had 22 points. That's not bad. And he's only had one start in the last three. So I think they're the two key lessons I've learnt, really.
What I wanted to ask you as well is, Leicester had started to look at a bit of a better deal in fantasy football terms. Then Claude Puel's come in and people look at his time at Southampton and don't necessarily think that Leicester are going to go all out attack necessarily, and I still don't think they will. But I think Leicester players suddenly seem to have come into a bit more consideration than they've been previously, certainly.
Well, definitely. It's early days. He's only had one game in charge. So in a way, he's trying things out. The early evidence is, with that victory last weekend, that it's working out. So he's made a few tweaks and changes, which fantasy managers should take note of. Basically, various things like possession, still the same, pass completion, all these kinds of things. Their crossing is a bit more accurate, so that's something he may have worked on. The goal attempts are down slightly, but they're more accurate with their goal attempts. And defending was good. They were conceding far less goal attempt shots and their blocks and interceptions and clearances. These types of stats for defenders were all up as well. But there was a structural change as well, kind of a strategy change. Mahrez was moved more central, so that makes him a little bit more appealing, kind of more supporting Jamie Vardy. That, in turn, makes Jamie Vardy a better option as well, because he's got someone of quality a bit closer to him to feed him passes, and we know how lethal those two can be when they won the league. So what he's done there, so replacing Mahrez out in the wings, he's actually brought in Damara Gray, who is looking very good. He's always looked good, but he hasn't had the minutes. So if he can get the minutes, he looks good. Ben Chilwell, he's only 4.3, so he's a very cheap defender. And he was actually playing out on the wing. So that's a situation to monitor. If we've got a 4.3 priced defender who's playing as a winger in a side that has renewed confidence, that is definitely something to look at. I wouldn't get him in just yet, though. That could have been a one-off, but keep an eye on that.
In terms of the European stuff, I just want to get a quick injury update in a second, though it's worth mentioning, with Tottenham beating Real Madrid at Wembley, is it fair to say that thoughts are now that Tottenham have got over this whole Wembley problem?
Yeah, the Wembley hoodoo has definitely gone. I think with all teams like that, it preys on their mind. Like Harry Kane unable to score in August, there's no real reason why a player of Harry Kane's quality can't score in August, even against very easy opposition. So it probably preys on their mind a bit, and I think the Wembley thing did. Well and truly gone now. They absolutely hammered Liverpool last time they played in the league at Wembley, and Real Madrid, who I understand are a very good side indeed, were, I'd probably say, borderline humiliated by Spurs at Wembley. So that's definitely gone.
And I wanted to ask you as well, Joe, as we always do, three players that you would say are well worth looking at for this week's games.
Yeah, so I've already mentioned him, Harry Kane as well. I just wanted to mention that in terms of injuries in the Champions League, it's probably Spurs where we need to be looking at, because Toby Alderweireld, their defender, their centre-back, is out. So there's probably going to be a bit of a change there. Dyer might go into centre-back, but it didn't really harm them against Real Madrid. But so I just wanted to mention that in terms of injuries. But Harry Kane, owned by 28%, Spurs striker, who started, obviously, last night in the Champions League. That means he's back, he's fit, he had an injury. He faces Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace are awful. So they have shipped 9 goals against away to the two Manchester clubs. So you have to compare how they fared against a similarly good side. And that's under Roy Hodgson as well. And they've actually allowed 34 shots on target in all of their away games. No side has conceded more there. Another player is a player that let a lot of people down last week. It was Richarlison. It was a major disappointment. He failed to even register a single shot on target against Stoke. And in fact, he failed to register a single shot on target at Vicarage Road this season. But on his travels, he's absolutely devastating. And he's potentially almost a differential captaincy option. He's had 22 shots on goal in away matches. That's the same as Harry Kane. And he's already scored 3 times and assisted a further 2. Everton, meanwhile, who he travels to, have shipped 10 goals, conceded 10 goals in their home matches. And that's the second worst tally behind Watford themselves when they're at home. So Watford, great away. Charleston, great away. Everton, awful at home. So that's a good match there. And Mo Salah, another player that let people down. He missed a penalty. Looks like he's off penalties now, which is probably a blessing in disguise. And he travels away to West Ham. West Ham have got a lot of injuries at the back. Salah scored midweek in the Champions League. We know what he can do in the league as well. And he still got an assist against Huddersfield, even though he didn't have the greatest of games and he missed that penalty. So I think he's going to bounce back. I think Richarlison's going to bounce back. And I think Harry Kane is a player you need to be getting in.
If you want some more top tips, then have a look at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Or if you're on Twitter, give these guys a follow at FFScout. For this week, Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.